I know some of you don't turn, you just turn your phone on and look on your phone on your Bible, and that's quite appropriate. But I just always believe that we ought to lay our eyes on it. You know, there's something about hearing and seeing. The more senses that you can get involved, the more you'll retain and the more you'll learn. That's why we use this pro presenter behind us to present the thoughts, because if you can actively lay your eyes on it and see it, you're going to absorb a little bit more. And church is all about learning, right? It's all about learning. So I titled this sermon, Press On in Your Identity. Press On in Your Identity. We're going to begin in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh." You need to just make note of that. He says three things of who we are. Who worship God in spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, we have no confidence in flesh. Three things that identify us. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence of flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Now look over at verse 12, because I believe that this is a key verse for this chapter. "Now, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Jesus, we need your help today. I want to grasp every grain of truth of your word that I can. I want my life to be changed. I want my mind to be changed. So I submit myself to you. I submit my ears to you. I take captive my thoughts and I place them upon you. There is nothing more important that's going to catch my attention today than the word of God. Lord, help me to apply myself, to lay myself on the altar today, to examine my heart and see where truth is and where falsehood is. God, may falsehood be sacrificed today at your altar so that truth remains. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You know, Philippians is only four small chapters, not even long at that, but it's a powerful, powerful book. And you've heard me say before, they call it the book of joy. Now, why joy? Why are these people identified as joyful Christians? And it's because they are doing the truth. They're doing the things that Paul has instructed them to do. See, the joy doesn't come by learning, it comes by obedience. It's when you obey the truth. That's where the blessing of God is, in obedience, not in just knowledge. He starts this chapter off. It's good to have our friends from, is it Red River Assembly? It's good to have you guys. I just now noticed you. Bless your heart. I love it when people are vacationing at the lake and they still make time to go to church. Bless your heart. So he starts, and he starts with one word, finally. Now, I know some of us read the Bible and we say that often. Finally, I'm coming to the end of this chapter. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, it's sort of like when, if you've ever taken an airplane ride, once you get to your destination, the airline pilot will always come on and he'll say, "We are beginning to make our descent. Fasten your seatbelt." That's what Paul just said to you in one word. We're getting ready to make our descent. We're getting ready to land this plane. So this has started a new thought. Remember I told you chapter 2 was all about verse 5? Let this mind be in you. And he never really changed that. He was constantly showing us the character of God. And he was saying, you should be like this. Which is really, to me, it was sobering. Because the more I read it, the more I studied it, the more I realized that ain't me. Bless the Lord for honesty. He is not saying this is less important than the first two chapters. He's just saying, I'm changing my thoughts and I'm getting ready to conclude this book and I'm going to hit you and I'm going to hit you hard. Okay? So he said, finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. What a simple statement. What a simple statement to say, rejoice in the Lord. He said, hey, it's not tedious for me to say this to you. In other words, I have said this many times to you. And it's not tedious, it's safe. This is a safe place for you to live, rejoicing in God. I was talking to my son today, and he studies a lot, and he researches a lot. And today, or yesterday, we were talking about burnout. And a lot of doctors go through burnout. What does that mean for you? It means they really don't care. They're burned out. They're seeing their patients. They're writing prescriptions. They're dealing with life and death, but it doesn't touch their hearts anymore. That's sort of serious, if you ask me. What does burnout mean to a minister? It means I'm going through the motions, but I don't care. I've lost my heart for God. I've lost my heart for sinners to be saved. I've lost my heart to see you healed. But you know what? I'm into this thing. I can't change careers at 57 years old. I just got to keep going through the motion. I'm burned out. You see, every career suffers burnout if you're not careful. Well, it's more than just career. It can be a marriage. You know what? I'm done with this marriage. I'm not divorcing you. I'm still going to live with you. We'll still share the same bed. But I'm done with you, fella. You don't think people live like that? You are wrong. They're burned out. My son said, you know, they really, really study this thing because it's so real in every part of our life. He said, they have come up with one characteristic that changes burnout, that will prevent burnout. He said, Dad, do you know what that is? I said, I have no clue. He said, it's being thankful. Whew. Like the word of God ran me over. Right? You see, if a doctor all of his life, if he's been practicing medicine for 60 years, but every day he gets up and he says, thank you that I had the opportunity to go to medical school. Thank you for what you have imparted to me. Thank you that I have patients. Thank you, Lord, that you use me to treat these patients. He'd be a different kind of doctor. If a minister stands up and says, I don't deserve you, but thank you that you laid your hand on me. I am not worthy of the call, but thank you that you put that call of God in me. If a husband or a wife says, thank you for this gift that you have given me, because she's not just the prettiest little thing that I decided to marry. She's a gift of God to me. And I thank you for that gift. God, I thank you for this old rundown house that I live in. I thank you for the car. I pray to God it gets me where I want, but I thank you for it, Lord. You'll never get a better one until you start thanking God for the one you got. He says, rejoice in the Lord. You have something to be thankful for. Rejoice in the Greek, it's chairo, C-H-A-I-R-O. It means to be elated, ecstatic. It's the exact opposite meaning of what we say church ought to be. We say, don't get too excited in the house of God. Oh, don't do that. Just stand behind your pulpit. Let's turn to this passage, if you would. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, thou art with me. I'm sorry. It just ain't in me. It's just not in me. It's not my nature. To rejoice is to be elated. Thank you, God, for that wife. Thank you, God, for this car. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. I'm ecstatic about it. I'm jubilant. And it's followed by actions. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I give you thanks. I give you praise. You're a wonderful God. That does not mean that everything in your world is right. But I'm going to tell you, if I was God, and I looked down upon some of you sourpusses, I would look for somebody that's, whoa, God, I thank you for this job. Woo-hoo-hoo! Bless the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say, angels, take something good to that boy. Because he appreciates it. When my kids were growing up, I could get really stingy towards them if they were unthankful. But when they would come to me earnestly, in an earnest heart, say, Dad, I know you really couldn't afford that. Thank you so much. You sacrificed for me. Buddy, I'm ready to pull out the checkbook. What else you need, son? You think I'm different? I think you're like me. And I think we're like God. Rejoice in the Lord. But you know what? I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like rejoicing. I just got up in a bad mood. I've got a headache. My ankle hurts. Things are going on in my body. I don't feel like rejoicing, God. And he says, well, son, you got a choice. You don't have to. But David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. He did not say that because everything was going right. He didn't say it just when he was on the mountaintop. He said it when he's in the valley. Oh, when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I realized one thing. You're still with me. Isn't that a powerful revelation? God, you didn't leave me in my time of desperation. You know this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice in the Lord always. Five words. Five words that if we would do it would change your life. We could stop right here. Rejoice, and some of you say, oh, bless God, please, please, please. It ain't happening today, folks. I'm going to say. Can I show you what this looks like? There's a prophet in the Old Testament that wrote some powerful, powerful words. It's in a little book that some of you maybe didn't even know was in the Bible. It's called Habakkuk. It's right towards the end of the Old Testament. In chapter 3 and verse 17, this prophet penned these words. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on my vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls, Lord, it looks like we're going to starve to death. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, Jesus, forgive us. I don't care about the circumstances of life that look so gloomy right now. God, you didn't tell me to rejoice when everything is coming together for me. You told me to rejoice in all things. So God, I declare to you today that I will rejoice when my bank account is low, and I will rejoice when my bank account is high. I'll rejoice when the doctor says you're sick and to death. And I'll rejoice when I'm healthy. I'll rejoice when my wife gets mad at me. I'll be rejoicing a lot, Jesus. I will never stop. I'll never stop being thankful, rejoicing in you. And Paul says, this is a safe place. You get that? This is a safe place for you to live. This is safe for me to say it to you. This is safe. I find that we are, by and large, we're run by our emotions. Oh boy, I'm happy today. God is so good to me. But tomorrow? What, God? I don't even think God knows my name. I don't understand. Hey, now David said this. I don't see why the unrighteous prosper and I'm running for my life. I'm going to tell you, that attitude never helped anybody. I'm thankful that David was so real, that he was so honest with his emotions. Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth one day, he said, "How you doing, Smith?" And he said, "I don't ask myself how I'm doing. I tell myself how I'm doing." They also walked into his room one day with a newspaper and he said, "Get that worldly thing out of here." We learned to cut a few things out of our life. That's another sermon. How do you get like that? How do you get like Smith Wigglesworth, where you tell yourself you're not going to feel sorry for yourself today? Hey, no pity parties allowed in this house. My goodness, if we would just make that one declaration. I'm not feeling sorry for Eric today. I'm going to tell self, you're going to rejoice in the Lord today. I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you what you felt. I'm telling you. Look yourself in the mirror. You rejoice in Jesus today. What does that mean exactly? It means you've got to get things in perspective. You see, I think we could go through the motions and act like we're rejoicing but not be rejoicing. I think when you really rejoice, it's when you get a hold of yourself and you say, you stop acting like this. Now you have a lot to be thankful for. You quit dwelling on the past. You quit dwelling on what's wrong. You know, the more you dwell on your sickness, the more you hurt. Don't dwell on it. I'm not saying deny it. I'm saying go to the doctor, ask Jesus to heal you. Do something, but let's not focus on that all day long. Let's realize that in the darkness, He is there. And if He is there, He is willing to do something about your situation. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows your name. You're not just a number to God. He knows every hair on your head. You don't. You may count them as they're falling out. Paul goes on. I won't keep beating this horse, but Paul goes on. He says, you beware of these dogs. That's strong language. Who's the dogs he's talking about? People that are going to sow falsehood into your life. Specifically, it was those that were saying, you must be circumcised to be a Christian. We don't do that no more. Right? We don't do that anymore. We don't tell people you got to be circumcised to be a Christian. Our church definitely wouldn't grow if we met men at the door and saying, oh, you're going to come to this church? You want to be a member of this church? You're going to have to be circumcised. Hey, Larry, go get the flint. See you later, buddy. We ain't building the church that way. But someone was teaching that they had to be circumcised. We don't do that anymore. Not that. Exactly. But we still add a lot to the law. We still want to put these steps in. See, if you're going to be one of us, you got to do this. You got to look like me. What about this? You got to worship like me. Ho-ho-ho. I'm so thankful. My brother Denny and I, we're pretty different. He's smart. I'm smart. He's an intelligent guy. No, there's no doubt about it. He's articulate. He's also very quiet and reserved. I am not. We'll leave it at that. We probably are not going to worship alike. Doesn't mean he's not worshiping. Truth of the matter is I can jump around, raise my hands and clap my hand and dance like a fool and be thinking about what I'm going to eat for dinner. I could even be quite evil because I could be saying, I hope everybody sees me. Bless God. Look at this move. That, you think God gets a thrill out of that? He's looking for sincerity of heart. He's looking for that guy who may not even raise his hands, Pentecostal. He may stand there like this. God, I'm so thankful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And he leaves without a tear in his eye. But he has worshiped. Let's quit adding to. To get saved, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you follow him. And that is salvation. You don't have to cut your hair. I don't care if you get a tattoo. Not crazy about those in the nose. You get it? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be like that. I want Paul to come down and say, hey, big boy, you're teaching law. Now, I need to take a moment and tell you what it's not. There's a movement in the body of Christ today that is saying you ought to know what the feast of the Lord is. You ought to be aware of what the feast mean and the meaning of this. And some of them go as far as they don't want to eat pork. I've got a son like this. I can't stand it because I can't eat bacon when he's there. But he believes that we should keep these feasts, that he follows these feasts. But what's the difference is he believes that there is one way to salvation through Jesus Christ your Lord. That's not what Paul is talking about. There's a lot of differences in the body of Christ. Talked to a guy this week and he looked at me, he's so honest, and he said, I don't agree with everything you say. And I said, I probably won't agree with everything I say either a week later. It seemed right at the moment. You don't have to agree with everything I say. You've got to agree with this. This book. If I start telling you what Eric thinks, you have every right to disagree. But if I tell you what Jesus said, you better not disagree. You better change. So he's saying, hey, let's put that away. We're not following the law to be saved. He says, because we are the circumcised. He's just said these guys, he's writing to the Jewish believers. He said, we are Jews. And today, I just wanted to say, we are the church. That's a big statement. We are the church of the living God. I don't care what you identify as. See, in this house, there's people that identify as Catholic. There's people that identify as Pentecostal. There's people that identify as Methodist or Baptist. Who cares? We just don't care. What we care about is, do you identify that you are a child of God? That you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Because that's what matters. Not what's over the door. That doesn't matter. So I woke up Sunday or Thursday morning, and the Lord spoke to me just like that. And a lot of times the Lord speaks to me right when I'm waking up. And the Lord was beginning to impart the importance of church. I really believe that we have downplayed church. And the Lord said this to me. He said, church is like school. He said, it's where you learn. He said, some people are stuck in kindergarten because they're still trying to learn how to get along with each other. But others, listen to this, but others are going on to the finer points, exact words, to the finer points of grace. Now, I will tell you, I woke up and I said, dear Jesus. You see, I grew up in a church that there was no grace. There was a whole lot of law, but there was no grace. If you messed up, we could quote the law to you, but we just didn't move in grace. And Jesus spoke to my heart in those early hours, and he said, the finer points of grace. It's all grace. This whole book is about grace. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift. You see, mercy is not getting what you deserve. When your parent says, you broke the rule, I deserve to spank you, I'm going to show you mercy today. I'm not going to do that. That's mercy. Grace is saying, you little brat, you don't deserve anything, but let's go out to dinner because I love you. That's what Jesus does. He said, you're really not worthy. You're really not righteous. But I love you. You know, Hebrews says everything is laid naked in front of God. You don't have, you try to conceal your sin, but you can't. He sees everything about you, and he still loves you. Is that not amazing? I can tell you, when I thought Treva was a keeper. See, when I was a teenager, I was just one big pimple. I mean, you can tell my skin just scars easy. So I mean, my cheeks were just scarred up. I just had pimple after pimple and just big pits. And, you know, it was just I looked at myself in the mirror and I'd think, who can love that? And she bent over one day and kissed me right there on the cheek. and the place that was so scarred up. And I thought, woohoo. I like you. You know, God's that way. He looks at you on your worst day. He looks at you when you blow it. When you say all the wrong things. And He says, I love you. You're worth dying for. Now you think you can't rejoice in that? You didn't do one thing to deserve God's grace. He willingly gave it to you. It's all about grace. This thing. We call the building the church. The building is not the church. We could sell it next week and make a car lot out of it. And say, oh, the anointing is left. No, sir, the anointing never was there. The anointing's not on the concrete and the walls. The anointing is on you and on His Word. See, when you speak His Word, when His Word comes out of your mouth, it's anointed by God. See, anointing's when you get noisy and get loud and start spitting and talking really fast, isn't it, Pastor? No. 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 Anointings, when Habakkuk said, though the fig tree may not blossom, yet I will rejoice. When everything is going wrong in my life, I look to You and I realize in You everything is all right. In God I trust. I wonder why He blessed this nation so much. I think part of it is because of that one line, in God we trust. God help us if we ever take that line out. We're the church. He says we're the true circumcision. The true circumcised. I'm going to close this thing up real quick. But Romans chapter 2 verse 29. He says, for He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. In other words, you're not a Jew just because you've been circumcised. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. God is not so much worried about cutting away the flesh from your penis. Yes, I said it. As He is cutting away the flesh from your heart and your mind. God says, I want to cut away that stuff that's in your heart and in your mind that when you look in the mirror you say, I'm such a failure. He says, I want to cut that out. Because you're worth dying for. Man, I love this stuff. See, we get saved and we think, well, there's no more cutting now, Jesus, huh? I'm saved now. I'm all right. Jesus says, son, I'm going to be cutting on you the rest of your life. Until you become like Me. Until chapter 2 comes true. That this mind that's in Christ is now in you. Isn't that it? And Paul says in verse 12, he said, I'm pressing on. I come to tell you today, we've got to press on. We got to keep pushing on and keep remembering who we are. You're the church. That didn't thrill you, but it should have. You are the church. Maybe that's not the way to say it. You are God's people. You are God's family. You know, there's a scripture in, it's either Psalms or Proverbs. He says that God sets the lonely in families. I love that. God sets the lonely in families. Welcome to the Bridge of Hope family of God. And if God sets you here, we're going to love on you. Then he lists those three things. He said, we worship God in spirit. Worship is not mechanical. It's not what you do. It's who you are. We don't care if you do jumping jacks in this church. If you want to do jumping jacks, you do jumping jacks for Jesus. You're really not going to move us much. We're not going to be impressed because it's not for us. It's for Him. Or you may stand silently, and that's okay too. Reverently. See, if you're just singing a song, you're not worshiping. It's when that song is like you wrote it. For you are great. I love that. You do miracles so great. Man, that's like I wrote it. I can get into that song. Because when I look over my life, I think you are great. How you could take a little poor boy and pour his love on him. His stepdad didn't love him. His biological father didn't want to identify with him. But he poured his love on me. For you are great. You do miracles so great. I wrote that. I wish I'd wrote it. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, I think truth has a double meaning. I think He's saying, you worship in truth, you worship. Truth is the Word of God. John 17:17, thy Word is truth. We worship God according to what the Word tells us, not according to what you make up in your mind. To the truth. But I believe truth is also could be said in sincerity. Sincerity of heart. I always get a little suspect about people who start getting, who was not noisy, and now they're getting really noisy in church. I always think, are they making a show because of revelation that you're showing them something? Are they making a show because they want me to think they're something? See, I've been in church long enough that I know the guy that's committing an affair gets noisy sometime in church. Because he wants to take people's eyes off of his side life. Say, Pastor, you are cynical. You better know I am. It's just a good thing for you to know. I'm a little cynical. I'm looking for genuine. I found it in Him. I found it in Him. And I always want to be genuine. And I want you to be genuine. If you don't worship like me, don't put that coat on unless He tells you. Because it wouldn't be truth for you. There's no pressure. Are you getting this? There's no pressure for you to act in this church any certain way. All I want you to do is get alone with God and be sensitive to His Spirit and tell Him from the depth of your heart, you are wonderful. There's nothing that compares to you, oh God. That's worship in spirit and in truth. We're the church. Don't you ever forget it, baby. We are the church, and the church is the apple of God's eye. He loves the church. Stand with me if you would. I've got more. Sometimes I feel like when I do more, you forget the first. And so I just want to back up just a second and say, rejoice. Come on, if you leave with one word, leave with this word, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice when circumstances are favorable. Rejoice when circumstances are not favorable. Rejoice in the Lord. He is your hope. He's your life. He's the only one that can change you from the inside out. Rejoice in the Lord. Father God, we just come before you today. I am so thankful, thankful, thankful for your presence. God, I cannot get past the words of Habakkuk. God, it's so apparent to me that he was at a level that I am not. God, I'm still moved by feelings. I'm still moved by circumstances. But I want to be like him. I want to be a worshiper, a rejoicer. So God, I lay my heart on the altar today. And I'm going to ask you to circumcise my heart. Cut away that old flesh. Cut away that old identity. So that I can be made new in you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is that you today also? Say, Eric, I am so moved by my feelings, you just don't even know. I'm so emotional. And I don't want to be like that. Just raise your hand to God, not to me. Are you willing then to lay your heart on the altar? Are you willing to say, God, would you circumcise this off of me? Would you cut away this fleshly part? You can put your hands down. If you don't know Jesus, maybe this is the first step, is just being introduced to the Savior. I think I know most every one of you, and I think every one of you know Jesus as your heart, as your Savior, but I don't know for certain. Is there anyone here that says, Pastor, I need to know him. I need to know my Savior. I need to know Jesus as my Savior. Anybody here? Then we're all in the same boat. We are the church. We are the church. Maybe we could say it this way. We are the redeemed.
We are the redeemed.
Hallelujah. Bought with a price off of the slave market. Oh my God, thank you. I am not a slave to anything. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to the way I used to think. I've been made new in Christ Jesus. And I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, God. Now, Father, we just lift up each and every one of these, especially those that raised their hand and said, oh, I need this stuff cut out of me. I need this emotional stuff where I'm just led by my emotions. I get up in a bad mood or I get up in a happy mood, but I'm happy all day because I woke up happier. Or I'm sad all day just because I'm sad. I don't want to be like that. I want to be led by the Spirit of God, not my emotions, and definitely not my past. I know bad things have happened to me, but I don't want that to lead me any longer. God, I want to be led by your Spirit, for they are the sons of God. So cut away, Jesus, cut away. Because I declare today that I am a rejoicer in the Lord. I may be a quiet one, but I'm going to rejoice in God, my Savior. Now, Satan, you are not permitted to steal this word from our hearts. I pray, God, that you would put a shield over us. So that when we walk in that parking lot, the birds of hell cannot swoop down on us and steal your thought. Even if the waitress is hateful today, I'm going to rejoice in God my Savior, and I'm going to tell her to have a blessed day in Jesus. I thank you, God, that my future is bright. My future is hopeful. My future is in you. I will rejoice in God my Savior. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen.